Blog Talk Radio.
This is Antonio Sabato Jr., and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. I'm joining your host today is August 25th, 2010. Welcome, welcome. I'm going to jump right into the show tonight. We have an amazing young lady on the phone. You guys may have heard of The Bay, which is a new independent soap opera in the vein of Aaron Spelling's 1980s classic primetime hit, Dynasty. Well, Gregory J. Martin did a tremendous job in casting for this new web series that he's created. And on the line with us tonight is the one and only Lily Melgar, who will be playing Janice Ramos. Welcome, Lily.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
I'm good, I'm excited. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, I'm glad we got to work it out. This is my pleasure. Let's do a little bit about you first before we get into the Bay. Give us a 60-second rundown about Lily.
Oh, my God. Career-wise?
Where you from and that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, I was born and raised in California in Downey, and I'm from El Salvadoran descent. What else can I tell you? I've been in the industry for a while. I started off as a VJ, as a video host on Hispanic TV. And, you know, then Ricky Martin and I were brought on as Daytime's first Latin leading couple on General Hospital, and we were written in, and that was very cool, and that's how I got into acting.
And that was a great time on General Hospital with you, Ricky, and Maurice, and Vanessa, and all of that. That whole time of General Hospital was just classic soap stuff.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great time. I'm so grateful to have been a part of it at that time.
Right. Now, it seems, and it's a pretty sad state that there's so many soaps that have been canceled. We know about Guiding Light after 72 years, they canceled. As the World Turns, canceled after so many years. And now there's rumors going around about One Life to Live being the next one on the chopping block. Some say it's true,
oh, wow.
Some say it's not. Yeah, exactly. It's been going around for quite a bit. But you know what? I guess it just shows you that nothing is certain. So we have to give big, big thanks to Gregory and his brilliant imagination for developing these, you know, independent soap operas for the web. It casts all of the major players from soaps, and it's going to give us, I think, even better quality of stories than we've been seeing lately on soap operas. So tell me how Gregory got you to participate in The Bay.
Oh, that's a good question. Actually, Gregory and I worked together on a couple of his films, his most recent films. I was, I had a part in his last two films, Sebastian and Lights Out. And from there, he started discussing with me this idea that he had for this web series and that he wanted me to play Janice. And I was very excited about it because of the obvious reasons, you know. We are losing a lot of daytime, which is disheartening. But, you know, he's, you know, being part of this new wave, this new movement of, they say that the new home for daytime will be the web. I don't know. It's too, you know, early to tell. But it's exciting to be part of the pioneers, which, you know, Gregory is. He's one of the first to be doing it. And I think that he's been absolutely brilliant at promotion and getting people to support us, and not to mention the amazing casting. And on top of that, I've been sharing this with everybody that, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have worked in this industry for a while now, and most of it has been positive. But there's something very special about the dynamic and the energy that's going on with this particular group. And I don't know if it's because we're excited that we're a part of something new. You know, we get to do the soap thing, the classic formula, but in a new medium with a fresh perspective. And, of course, that's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's doing it because we want to do it. And there's just absolutely no ego when we're working together. It's fun. It's really fun. And
right.
The chemistry between all of the players involved is just, I can't tell you, it's fantastic. I'm very, very excited about this particular project because of that. Every time we work together, we walk away and we just feel so good about creating together, and energetically the space is absolutely perfect for us to create good work, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Gregory is, I think that he is a pioneer in this because his passion for soaps runs so deep and so far back. You know, he's told me the story many times on how he used to watch it with his, you know, his family, his mom, his grandma, and stuff like that. So he knows what soaps should be, and he knows what soap fans want. And unlike the powers that be that run the networks, he actually takes the suggestions and asks for suggestions from the fans of his other works to help him, you know, kind of guide him a little bit in which direction to go to with the new projects, you know. I see that he always, you know, takes suggestions from fans and watches of his show and loves the input. And I think that's what's going to make this such a successful series. You know, because he's so open, you know?
Yes. I mean, you know, the vehicle is for the fans. That's why we do what we do. And,
right.
You know, at the end of the day, what makes us proud is that we did good work that people enjoyed. So it is refreshing to have mm-hmm. someone in charge
right.
that is listening to the fans, you know?
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. Let's run down this cast. I mean, quickly, just a few because there's so many people. I can't believe how many people he's got cast on this series for
Isn't
the web.
That amazing?
I mean, it is, and I'm just gonna. I'm on the website now. I mean, we've got Matt Ashford, we've got Martha Madison, we've got Mary Beth Evans. Tanisha Lynn, who used to be on All My Children as Danielle, Daphne Bloomer, Matthew Borlenghi, Tristan Rogers, John Callahan, I mean, on and on, Charles Shaughnessy. It's insane on how many people, Eileen Kristen, on how many people he's got in this. Oh, my God, and now I just see Jackie Zeman has been added. To the cast. Oh, my God, see, I didn't even see that. That's incredible. You know, I mean,
yeah,
now you would.
He's brought some amazing people together. It's fun.
It leaves me speechless to see this because it's like, if only the powers that be at the networks would even just take a glimpse at this website and look at the cast and be like, damn, what are we doing wrong? Because
exactly.
All they're doing is cutting these people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just saw today that Leslie Charlson from Monica Corman from General Hospital has just been dropped from contract, and she's on a recurring role on General Hospital. Hello? She's a quartermain. How does a quartermain get dropped? You know, it's just like, really?
Disappear, become the back burner of the show, right?
That's exactly what they are. Actually, they killed most of them all off.
Yeah.
You know, they're all pretty much dead now, you know,
yeah.
So it's like, really? No, the forefront of GH is the Corinthos family.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they pretty much took over all of that. But, I mean, it's like, really, it's incredible what he did. So I've been watching the confessions, and as everybody, I hope, knows, if not, you need to check out thebetaseries.com. Because each week leading up to the premiere of the show, we're getting to know more about characters. And it's called The Confessions of the Garretts, and there's three currently up on the website now, two of Mary Beth Evans' character, Sarah Garrett, and one of Dylan's character, Brian. Now, tell me a little bit about Janice without giving too much away.
Okay. Janice is Sarah Garrett's nemesis, lifelong nemesis.
So,
to say the least, we're not each other's favorite people. There's quite a history, which I think that she may have revealed some of it in the confessionals. And, of course, you know, it's ongoing. And it has to do with men. Surprise, surprise. So, it's really fun. It's, that's my role. I'm her main nemesis. I'm a Latina, feisty, firecracker, very opinionated, not afraid of confrontation. I'm fiercely loyal to my family. I can be manipulative, you know, whatever it takes to get my way, but it's always generated from what I believe to be just and fair in my world.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a teenage daughter that, I don't know how much I can say, but
some of the promos show the I'm trying to think of the promos that I saw, what it showed. I know that your daughter is involved with someone.
With her son, and so
right.
You know, we take it from there. Obviously, neither one of us are very happy about that.
Right.
So, one way or another, our lives keep on being intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to deal with each other.
Right. So basically, who would you consider yourself to be, Crystal, or what was Joan Collins' name? Crystal
and Joan Collins.
All righty then.
What was it, Alexis? Is this Alexis?
Alexis, yes, there we go. Tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
Okay, very good,
well,
very cool.
Yeah, I would definitely be Alexis, because the Crystal character, you know, Sarah Garrett, she's a mom of I've lost count with how many kids she has from different men, but
baby daddy she got going on.
Yeah, she appears to be the nice one, but in my world, she's, I don't know if I can say bitch.
Say whatever you want.
Know?
We're not monitored, honey. Go right ahead.
She's a hoe
of the show.
She's a bitch to me. She's such a bitch to me. Oh, my God. You know, and I just won't have it. But, yeah, so nobody's, as far as I can see, nobody's like your squeaky clean character. Everybody's layered and interesting and human, you know?
Right. Well, you know what I really like about his cast and just from what I can see, just from visual pictures, because he is very tight-lipped on a lot of the stuff where he's got you waiting. But just from the visual pictures, the diversity of the cast, from the Latinas to African-Americans to this to that, there's just so much diversity in his cast, which is another reason I think that he really struck gold on this one, because you can't even get that on a daytime show or even a primetime show for that matter, you know, to have a cast that diverse and interact with each other and not have your separate little cliques. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's either like you're watching, you know, the WB or whatever they're calling themselves these days, and it's all African-American programming, or you're watching this channel and it's pretty much all white programming, or you're watching TBS and it's all Latin. You know what I'm saying? He's got a little bit of everything, and I think that is just magic right there. That's something I've been waiting to see on television for a long time. So the fact that he's getting it to where it's going to be a series on the web, and I know he said that he's in talks with having it on a network also, that would just be, to me, gold.
I agree. I mean, it's life, right?
Yeah,
what,
exactly.
The stories that we're telling, you know, That is life. Yeah. We interact with everybody. We're all one. I don't understand these vehicles that just talk about, you know, one aspect of life when we're all different shapes, sizes, colors, you know, ethnicities, and that's what makes people beautiful. That's what makes life beautiful and interesting.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited about that aspect as well.
I saw that in some of the visuals, pictures that he had, Martha Madison's character, I believe it is, with I'm getting used to the names. I'm going to look up his name. I don't want to botch it. Gavin, is it Houston or Houston? As an interracial couple, which you don't see anywhere on TV anymore. I mean, they toyed with it in different venues and different avenues of shows and stuff, but it never, I guess they were too scared to offend people or whatever, but I think that this is what people need to see because it is life.
Exactly.
You know?
And it's what people, you know, want to see. We need to see
Gregory,
it. We want to see it.
Yeah, he's done an amazing job.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, aspects to this that I do believe is a winning formula, and I'm hoping that, you know, people will be happy with the product because we put a lot of love and good energy into it, and everybody, like I told you before, everybody's very excited about it, you know?
Now, as far as any of these other independent soap operas or web series, have you seen any of them? When Gregory asked you or talked to you about this, had you been aware of the other ones that are out there on the web?
Honestly, no, I had not been aware of it. I you know, I heard his idea, and I thought, oh, wow, that's cool. So then, obviously, I started researching. For some reason, the Venice one, I could only find.
You pay for it, I think.
Episode. Yeah, so I was only able to see the first episode, and I liked it, you know. I thought it was very cool. It's like, oh, wow, check that out, you know. My biggest concern was, well, how can you hook an audience with a 5 to 7 minute episode, you know? That was my greatest concern. But, of course, you know, in his writing, there's like, it's action-packed. There's always some dramatic thing going on. So,
right.
You know, so that made sense there, but I just wanted to see it. So I saw that episode of Venice, and I really liked it, and then I saw the other one, Imaginary Bitches. Is that what it's called?
Eden
Regal,
right.
I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed that. Very fun.
Yeah, she was actually, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and we talked about this when he was on the show with Mary Beth, she was, and her husband were the first to do that. To do these little mini web episodes.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, and they really had, her husband wrote them and created it, and, you know, it cost them all of $200 to do the first season.
Unbelievable.
Because it was a family project. She had her sister, her brother. This one did the editing. This one did that. This one did that. And if you watch them, I mean, they're very high quality, and it's hilarious. You know, you got a lot of named people in there. You got Liz Hendrickson. You got a bunch of people in there, and they were very smart. If you go to that website, they put the first season out on DVD. They've got Imaginary Bitches clothing, dog collars, this, that. I mean, if you go onto Twitter, she even has those Imaginary Bitches tweeting. Catherine they're tweeting. So it's hysterical, and they were able to snag something, you know, there with the audience. And then, you know, once she came out with that, then other people, I believe, started following suit. You know, and I think it's the right avenue.
It seems
you know?
To be working. I saw those numbers. I was like, wow.
Exactly. All right, we have a caller here, and I believe. Oh wait, I'm using the wrong computer. I got two computers in front of me, and I'm wiggling this mouth. I'm like, it's not doing anything. It's the wrong one. Okay, yeah, I'm blonde. We have Brandy on the phone. Brandy, say hi to Lily.
Hi, Lily.
Hi, Brandy.
This is Brandy from Facebook.
From where?
Facebook. From your Facebook phone.
Oh, hi, Brandy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I finally get to hear your voice.
Oh, I'm such a geek.
Oh, no, you're not.
Yeah. I can't wait for the series to come out. Yeah, I'm sure you probably know that because, you know, if you need promoting, you know I'm your girl.
Oh, that is so sweet. Thank you so much.
I think you are a beautiful person and inside and out. I always read your statuses, and I'm like, aw, I wish I could be like her.
Oh, my God, you're going to make me cry.
No, seriously, I wish I could be more like you, like with the positiveness. I try. I don't know if you see my statuses. I'm crazy. But, yeah, you're a sweetheart, and I wish I could be more like you.
Oh, listen to her.
This
Brandy,
is so
you are
beautiful. Thank you,
you know what?
So much.
Lily, I'm going to tell this story, Brandy, and I have to tell this story. Now, Lily, I met Brandy through, you know, MySpace, Facebook, whatever was out at the time when I met you, Brandy, through that way. Mm-hmm. And I went to Super Soap Weekend. It was the very last Super Soap Weekend. I think that was in 07. Right? 07, 08?
One of those years.
Yeah, one of those, whenever they ended it. It was the very last one. So that's when I actually got to meet her in person. And the park was getting ready to close, or we were getting ready to leave, or whatever. We were wrapping up. I was doing the media tour. And I was walking away from one of the podiums, and I'm halfway. Now, this is an MGM in Orlando. And I'm halfway up to the front of the gates when I realized that my pocketbook is gone. So I left my pocketbook on one of the podiums all the way back at the other end of the park. And through some mutual friends that we met or that I met that knew Brandy through phone calls, whatever, she helped me find my pocketbook. She got it.
Well, see,
so
Brandy,
she's a beautiful
maybe
person.
I need to be more like you. That's what's
okay.
going on here.
There we go. So Brandy is an awesome girl.
Aww.
There's no doubt about it. Her statuses are crazy funny. And you know what? We all have shit we go through during the day or at night with family. There's not one person in America or anywhere in the world that doesn't have a bunch of broken branches on their family tree. Trust me when I tell you. But look, it's all good.
Yeah. We actually befriended each other on Facebook over stealing each other's celebrities on Celebrity Agent.
Yep, we did.
I think I might have pissed her off initially.
No.
I'm very competitive.
So am
oh
I.
My God.
That was the thing. I think that's why we clicked, because we're both competitive.
Yeah, I was like, who is this crazy woman? I just stole her celebrity. How could she have gotten it back within 30 seconds? Who is she?
It's in my blood. My Italian, you know, my competitive Italian. That's what it is. And I was like, ooh, and every time you stole mine, I was like, ooh, I'm going to get that back.
And you would.
Well, you know what? I think and I hope that through this series that Gregory and the rest of the actors and on this show will kind of band together and do a nice, huge event the way that Super Soap used to be and not just out in California. Maybe once things start moving along, maybe it's when we get into the second season of the series. Who knows? Maybe we can persuade them to do their own little Super Web Weekend fan event.
That would be awesome.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. I'm sure that he will want to do that. I mean, we've already had two fan events here in California, and we haven't even aired, you know. So he's very much about being one-on-one with the fans and building that kind of intimate relationship, which is really cool. I hadn't really experienced that firsthand on really interacting with how supportive the fans are.
Right.
And that's been a new element for me in this particular experience. And I can't tell you just how fulfilling it is. And you just feel so good about connecting with other human beings and interacting and exchanging that kind of support, you know? I didn't experience that before.
You know, the daytime community is very loyal to the actors, whether it be you were on a soap 10 years ago or 20 years ago. You know, they're especially loyal to the ones who have moved on and remember where they came from. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of actors out there that started out in soaps that won't even look back and admit they were even on a soap opera, where you have a ton of them that, you know, credit their success to being able to work on a soap opera because of how
Absolutely.
Hard it is, you know.
Absolutely.
And it is all in thanks to the daytime community of fans, which, you know, like we said earlier, daytime seems to be dying out quickly. And if this strikes gold, which I do believe it will, Gregory's going to have like an untapped market with these kind of things, you know. And when I say untapped, because he listens to what the fans want to see, and he may not be able to incorporate all of it, but for the most part, he makes allowances where he thinks, you know, it can be done. And that's very important to somebody who's watching something, you know.
Yeah, and it's really authentic. 2 points that I want to make. I think that the most loyal fans in the industry are from daytime. I've had, you know, the gift of having fans that have followed me since I was doing Tu Música, which, again, I was a video host on a Hispanic channel, that have followed me my entire career. So that is absolutely accurate. What I was saying is that I personally had not been part of fan events where I got to interact with them one-on-one. For whatever reason, I don't know why I didn't do that when I was on Bold and the Beautiful and General Hospital. I don't know. I missed out on that. So for me, it's really exciting to be able to live out, again, that kind of intimacy one-on-one, like not being supported just from afar, but to actually get to hug somebody and say, thank you so much for your support. Thank you for your positive energy. You know, I'm just really about connecting with people, and so that's been a very beautiful element added to this experience, as I stated before. But now I lost my thought. I had two things I was going to say. Knew it. yes. That I know because I grew up being a soap fan. You know, I mean, you could, my junior high friends and high school friends all have stories on how I would tell them when I grow up, I'm going to be on General Hospital. And they'd be like, well, how are you going to do that? You know, we're in junior high and high school. Like, I don't know. I just know that I am. So, of course, when they were like, oh, my God, that little twerp, she did it. You know, she always said she was going to do it. But my point is that I grew up as a fan, and even now, like, okay, I'm a huge fan of True Blood. Like, I'm obsessed
oh,
with
yes.
the show, with the whole vampire thing. I mean, I hope that I get to play one day. But my point is, you know, there's that girl that used to be on One Life to Live. I don't know her real name, but she was Meg or Megan, and she's the...
Oh, yes, Jessica Tuck.
Okay, her... I was such a fan of hers, when, you know, in high school when I watched One Life to Live. And when I saw her come on my favorite show, you don't understand, I regressed back to that girl in high school. I was like, oh, my God, you know. So I get it. I know what, you know, what that's like. And it's not something that ever goes away. And to this day, you know, I just shared this on another radio interview that I just did, but a couple of weeks ago, I went, you know, to meet up with some friends at a really nice hotel here in Hollywood, and they had a friend who was a producer, and he was just dumbfounded that I was at the table. You know, he's like, you don't understand. You really don't understand what you mean in my life. And I'm like, excuse me. He's like, your death devastated me. Your death on GH devastated me. I was ill. My grandmother was concerned for my health. That's how devastated I was. I just think it was just not right. It's my Lily could not blow up and go down like that.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was, I mean, he's like, look at me. I'm back at that time. And I get that because I'm one of those people, you know?
Yeah. Everybody's a fan of somebody, you know? I mean,
yeah.
And that's what it really boils down to. And I have those moments. But, I mean, since I started doing this show and started interviewing various soap stars, I have to admit the element of that feeling went away for a while, and then it was just kind of like, okay, you know, I can do this. And I'm talking to everybody just like, you know, if I was sitting in my living room talking to you, I don't talk any different to you than I would to my kids or anybody else, you know, or my sister or my brothers. And the first person that I did have on that I absolutely gushed over was Antonio Sabato Jr. because of Jagger. I mean, when he agreed to do my show, I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, Antonio, do my show. But now it's like, okay, no big deal. You know, it's like, all right, Antonio, come do the show again. It's all right. I had him, his mother on. We talked about that whole VH1 special and all that other stuff, and you know, me and his mother had a ball on the end. It was just like, but it still brought me back to that. Oh my God, I'm a fan. You know,
yeah.
We all have it. We all have it. It doesn't go away.
The whole soap medium, as it's been, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you are a viewer and you do watch every day, it just feeds that kind of thing where you feel like you really know these people because they're part
mm-hmm.
of your life on a daily basis.
Right.
So it definitely creates that kind of support from your fans and your haters, because believe me, my character was just as hated.
Oh, yes, I know. I spoke to somebody today.
And
they said, I said, okay, you know, I mean, I'm old and I don't remember a lot, you know, but I mean, well, you and I are the same age. I don't want to say I'm old because you're not old. But I said, I'd have to really go back and look at clips to actually remember a lot of that storyline because I'm not good like that with my memory. So they said, well, you know what? I absolutely love Lily Melgar, but I was so happy when she got killed because nobody could come between Brenda and Sonny. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the joke that, you know, that I always hear is, you know, we had, like, there's no in-between. There's nobody that felt, about that particular storyline. There's the people that, you know, when I had just aired, I had a stewardess on the plane that when she saw me, I mean, she really lost color in her skin. And she's like, she kneels down next to me and she's like, you don't understand. I had to take a week off of work because I was so devastated by your death. And I'm like, what? So here we go again, you know, devastated. So that's a recurring thing for the Lily lovers. They were devastated. And then you hear of the Lily haters that were jumping up and down, screaming, throwing Lily death parties. I mean, that is so dark. Are you serious?
Isn't
it? Partying over me blowing
exactly.
up
the exactly.
Kind of personal.
And it's so ironic that really they actually been mentioning Lily over the last month. She's been mentioned a few times because part of a storyline that was going on where Sonny is trying to kill Johnny Zakara, he actually had somebody plant a bomb in Johnny's car, and Sonny's daughter was going to get in that car.
Why would Sonny do that when that's like...
Well, he didn't know. He didn't know that she was going to do it. But it was just like everybody brought that back. Like, all right, fine, you're going to kill him, but you use a car bomb, and then, oh, my God, your daughter almost gets in. And he talks about, you know, flashback of when Lily got killed in the car bomb.
Yeah, no. I mean, if I would get paid for all the times that he's broken down over my death throughout the years, you know, I'd be doing really well.
Be a rich woman, girl. Be a rich woman. See, now the smart thing for them to do would be just because Lily got killed in a car bomb don't mean she's dead. So
it doesn't mean that, you know, my dad's guy didn't yank me right before it exploded, you know?
Of course. I mean, people come back with different faces and different heights, for that matter.
Well,
you got somebody who's 7 foot tall, and then the next time they come back on screen, they're like 4 foot tall. So who knows? And now that Vanessa Marcel is back, that would be a good thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, just to bring back the three of us together would be amazing. But they did bring me back. You know, I went back as an angel, and then I went back as a different character that was a prostitute that got plastic surgery to look like Lily to haunt Sunny, and that went nowhere. And I think it's because they really don't want to mess with – it's become such a foundation of Sunny Crandall's character, this death, this trauma, and they've built it so much – that I think that they don't want to touch it, that she really didn't die, because that's such a part of who he is. But
Go ahead.
I think it would be fantastic, because I know that Vanessa's back, and I hear she's back for a year. So for them to bring them back together, solidify them, and then they find out that Lily's really not dead, I think would be brilliant.
I think so, too. I think it would be great.
You should never get over the fact that he married me, you know?
Exactly.
And I don't care. I know that people fight over this all the time, but nobody's going to tell me that Sunny did not love Lily at the end when she left him and he was on that airplane on his knees crying to her to not leave her. At that point, that man had fallen in love with her.
That's right.
Sorry,
absolutely.
Brenda, people. But that is the truth.
No. All right. Brandy, I'm gonna let you go, and I'm gonna pick up Tony from Chicago, okay?
Right. So nice talking to you, Brandy.
Nice to talk to you too, Lily. Take care.
You too.
Oh my gosh. We've got Tony from Chicago.
Hello.
Hi, Tony.
Hi, Lily. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And I just took a look. I looked at the previews of The Bay, and sound like to me it's going to be a major hit. It's going to even top Bennett's from last year.
It's going to be what?
It's going to top Bennett's, because Bennett's was one of the top web shows of last year. This is going to top that.
Oh, I love it. Well, that's what we're hoping. That's what we're striving for.
Yeah. And what is it like working with all those talented actors like Mary Beth Evans and Martha Madison and Lane Davies and all those? What is it like working with them?
Well, you know, with Mary Beth Evans, we actually worked together. We were both on General Hospital at the same time. We never had scenes between us because our characters were doing different things. But funny enough, I just recently posted, I found on YouTube my first scene that aired on General Hospital with Ricky Martin, where he was having a memory of us as kids. And so when I saw the scene, the next scene was Mary Beth Evans. And I was like, oh, my God, because me and Mary Beth Evans are like, God, did we ever work together? We, like, couldn't figure it out. And so it's just, you know, very ironic that all those years ago on my first air date, the following scene is her, and now years later, we're working together. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? There's another interesting part, and unless I am completely wrong, in the recent history of General Hospital, I'm talking about actors and actresses in general, but in recent time, there's been three actresses that left their original characters and have come back to play somebody else, and you are one of those. The other two are Natalia Livingston and Sarah Brown.
Right, that's true. Yes, you're right. Yeah, mine unfortunately didn't go anywhere, which was, you know, disappointing, but it didn't work. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was kind of a cool thought in the beginning. I'm like, oh, that sounds kind of fun and, you know, interesting. And what was fun was that the beginning to think that I could play something so totally opposite of Lily, but then it was like they were writing her kind of already the same to already be falling for. So it was just like, whoa, this is kind of weird, you know? But anyway.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to what happened with was similar when they did the same thing with Emily from Nicholas, and they said but had her come back when she died, and then they had her come back, actress to come back to play another character who looked like Emily, Rebecca. And that storyline got absolutely nowhere.
Oh, really?
Really.
Yeah,
well.
It worked with Sarah's character, though, right?
Somewhat, yes, it did. Because he played Claudia Sicara at the time. Yeah, she came back and she made a little splash there, and it went somewhere, but then eventually it fizzled out and died when she got killed off. So.
Yeah. Sarah, I'm sure it was. Sarah's character, Claudia, came on with a bang, but. They just didn't know what to do with her. They pretty much just made her a whore out of the whole show, and I think they just ruined that character. There was so much potential. But
yeah, it was
just neither here nor there.
Yeah.
There was a lot of potential there for her, but they broke that one right into the ground.
Yeah, totally right into the ground.
Which brings me, you know, to Janice, to playing Janice, is she's just so totally opposite of Lily Rivera Corinthos, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So this is really fun for me because I get to show all the other colors that, you know, I wasn't allowed to show because they wanted to keep me so opposite of the Brenda character that,
right.
You know, when I wanted to introduce different things, I wasn't allowed because Lily was completely opposite of Brenda. And
right.
And that was challenging for me because Lily was very different from me. There's a lot that I really grew to love in her because I thought she was way wiser than I was at that age and maybe even now, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm just now learning the power in when to say things, the right timing and in the right way and coming from a place of love and not ego and all that jazz that, you know, it takes us so long to learn. And I felt that that's really, Lily loved Sonny that way. You know, she loved him unconditionally. And for me, a lot of the choices that she would make were just completely foreign to me at the time. So it was very difficult to play that character. So to play now a character where I get to use what comes more naturally to me.
Naturally.
You know, to be more of the feisty and the firecracker and get to use my sex appeal and get to, you know, be a brat.
There you go. And that's what we want to see, definitely. Well,
yeah.
The premiere of the day is September 16th. And until then, each week, Gregory is going to be releasing Confessions of the Garrett. Three episodes, webisodes are up on thebayseries.com. So if you did not see them, make sure you watch them because little by little, other things are going to be leaked out and it's going to lead right into the premiere, which I think is genius right there of him to do that. I'm looking forward to that. Now, Lily, are there any other projects that you're working on besides The Bay?
Well, I produced a film that we are currently in negotiations and selling, so I'm very excited about that.
Fabulous.
It's called Black Cobra. It's an action flick. And, you know, I grew up going with my dad to the drive-in theaters watching action films. So when I decided to produce it, I thought, well, you know, if I mess up a little bit, since it's my first time producing anything, it's still going to sell because action sells worldwide. It's just an easy sell. So that was kind of like my mentality and, you know, my little hidden love for that particular genre because that's what me and Dad would go watch at the drive-in movies. So I produced it, I co-directed it, and it's in very good hands right now. So, hopefully next time, you know, that I visit, I can tell you that it's sold and, you know, we can promote that. But as for now, we're in negotiations for that. So,
magnificent.
And I'm also, working on another project and to produce as well.
Very cool.
What's your favorite all-time action movie?
Wow. That's, you know what? I was really into the original Lethal Weapons.
Me too.
You know what? Me too.
That was, I mean, you know, I can't say Rocky is action. It's not really action, but, you know, that kind of excitement and, oh, yeah, you know, Rocky film. But as far as action, Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapons was just, that was the shit.
You know what, since you're talking about it, let me ask you a question. I mean, he's been out of the news for a while now, thank God, but what do you think about all that nonsense that was going on with him?
Okay. Well, you want to, what
aspect
of it?
You tell me all of it. I mean,
I want
you to know. You know, I mean, seriously, all of it. I mean, tell me what you think about the entire situation.
The entire situation. Well, I have a couple of thoughts on that. Well, one, scary. I mean, to hear, you know, his breathing, his tone, the things he's saying, needless to say, we can all agree, scary. That's, that's, you know, the guy lost it. He lost complete control over his emotions. Now, what I find even scarier is her.
Mm-hmm.
The way she is completely unaffected by the way this man is talking to her scares me even more.
Yeah.
I don't know if she set him up, if she, you know, said exactly what she needed to say to get him to that place, and then she started recording, and that's why she was so in control. But I just don't know how a human being could be talked to in that manner and not react. Just like nothing. Her, if you listen to her tone, it doesn't change. She's just trying. Not at all. I don't know, but that scares me.
I agree. And you know, now does that make you look at him differently as an actor? Would that affect you from seeing one of his films?
No. I think he's a brilliant artist. Not just a brilliant actor, he's a brilliant artist all around. The guy is genius. I enjoy and respect good work. I'm going to see that. That has absolutely, it's none of my business really what he does in his personal life. Now, if he went out and you know, we don't know if he's actually physically hurt her. I really don't know. That may affect me. I can't deny that. But this scenario, I feel like he obviously lost his head, lost control of his emotions. And again, I still kind of question, you know, how much, not to say that in any way is what he said or his behavior acceptable. That is not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that buttons were clearly pushed in a manipulative manner, and I just don't see anybody innocent in this picture, so I can't just judge one person in it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I agree completely with you on that. I don't hold – I mean, does he need help? Obviously. But, you know, I mean, so many actors, you know, run to rehab when they say words or do things that, you know, are unacceptable in a social manner. You know, someone says the N-word or calls them, you know, makes a racial slur or an anti-Semitic remark or homophobic statement that somebody doesn't agree with. Everybody runs to rehab. I'm not saying that he needs to go to rehab for saying those words or what he said for that, but he's definitely got some anger issues. If she can push his buttons to get him to that point, he needs to be somewhere and get some help. His ex-wife did come out and say that he has never been violent with her or in that fashion with her the 30 years they were married.
You know, there you go. There's
so for her to say that, you know, after being married to the man for 30 years, and that that clearly something happened, so that shows you something. And no, yeah, you're right. The way the woman handled it, if somebody was screaming in my face like that on the telephone, oh boy, I wouldn't be saying, hey, how you doing? No.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm just hanging out. Well, you really don't need to talk to me like that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No.
I mean,
no.
Come on.
I'd be saying,
come on,
oh
you
yeah.
crying, you'd be fighting back, you'd be hanging up. You would just sit there and listen to this and have absolutely no reaction.
Exactly.
That is so
exactly.
eerie to me.
Well,
you know?
In any event, I hope that he gets the help that, you know, he needs to move on, but it does not affect my feeling as far as watching a movie of Mel Gibson. Anytime
yeah.
Mel Gibson movie comes on television, or the Lethal Weapons, I should say, particularly, I'll watch them in a marathon all day.
Yeah. I mean, nobody can play mad like him. You know?
Right, I'm telling you. Absolutely. This
fantastic.
Is true.
I'm still
oh,
mad
my gosh.
At work.
Well, anyway, I can't tell you how glad I am that we finally got to set this up, and you're welcome back on this show anytime to just sit and bullshit about whatever it is that you want. Whatever's ticking
oh,
at the top of Lily's schedule, she's welcome to come back.
Thank you.
But let's reiterate, The Bay is going to premiere September 16th. Please go to thebayseries.com. It is a Kickstarter project. I have to throw that out there. It's 67% pledged right now. According to the website, 67% funded, sorry, $10,000, $10,013 has been pledged, 67% of this is goes to the season finale, of the season chapter, finale chapter of the series, 67% of it's funded and it's 10 days to go, so if you got a dollar sitting there, you know, on a lonely old gift card, or you can spare a dollar on a credit card, $5 here or whatever, pledge it, and you will be part of making of history.
Yeah.
Simple as that. You know, I mean, we will just think, instead of going to buy that pack of cigarettes, you New Yorkers, for $10 a pack, use the $10 and, you know, fund the Bay. You know, you know you don't need those extra chips, $3 a bag, throw it into the Bay.
Help us create magic.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lily, I'm so pleased to have you on the show. Before I let you go, though, can I get you to do a small promo for Stardish?
Absolutely. I heard Antonio's. I was like, oh, there's my buddy.
Something like that. Just like his. However you want to spin it, say it, it's up to you.
Okay, so
I'm recording. You can say, hi, this is Lily Melgar, and I'm on Stardust Radio, or this is Lily Melgar, and you're listening to Stardust Radio, whatever, as long as it has your name and Stardust Radio, the rest you
okay.
can say. And I'm ready now.
Hi, I'm Lily Melgar. Welcome to Stardust Radio.
Perfect. Tell me, I didn't forget about you. I had you on mute so we could go on our rant. Say goodbye to the lovely Lily. And she shall be back.
I will be back.
All right,
best.
Everyone.
Bye, Tony. Thanks
for
making
it. You. Good luck with the Bay. I'll be watching it when it first comes out.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone else, make sure you check out Stardust Radio on Facebook for the next episode. Don't know who the guest is going to be yet, but that's where you'll get it first. Until then, everyone, have a fantastic night.
Good night.
Bye.
Hey, everybody, this is Brandon Barash, and thank you for listening to Stardust Radio.